it always amazes me when we talk about infrastructure and city building today is how much people talk about infrastructure as being impossible. It's too expensive, too much investment. And I think people lose track of how much has already been done and how much was done by our predecessors and how successful it's turned out to be as an investment, not just as a spending program. You have a political right that thinks all of this is about spending public money, you know, making unwise investments. You have a political left that thinks that anything corporate is bad, gives too much control to the private sector. And so Park Avenue and Grand Central are probably one of the prime examples. I mean, this was all built over 100 years ago, and it was done very much between the public and the private sector. They not only built a new terminal between 1903 and 1913, but they sunk the electrified tracks, right, that ran down Park Avenue. When they did that, they knew they were creating new real estate, and there are these amazing photographs of what Park Avenue looked like in 1903. It was just a series of development parcels. And what they ended up creating was some of the world's most valuable real estate. And that's not just important in real estate terms, it's important in city terms, because the jobs that are generated, the taxes that are generated from a place like Park Avenue pay for an awful lot of the social goods that we all want, like parks and schools and firehouses and affordable housing and all those other good things. And so figuring out these places of commerce and how to link them to transportation and do it in a way that's sustainable, you know, isn't rocket science, and it's certainly not new. You know, because one of the things that's remarkable about Park Avenue and Grand Central, you know, there's 125,000 people who pass through Grand Central every day. And Grand Central, of course, isn't a station, it's a commuter terminal, right? And when people come here from Westchester and Connecticut to work in these office buildings, they are using the car either not at all or very little, right? And so it's a kind of extraordinarily green idea to build this kind of density and associate it with a beautiful station. It's interesting. A lot of it was just fueled by a kind of capitalism where the railroads, right? And this is, of course, before the era of subsidized federal highways, right? And subsidized airports and air traffic. So the railroads were really in a competitive position. And so a lot of, you know, there's an enormous race between the two railroads to get a tunnel under the Hudson River. Penn Central ended up winning that race, right? But Vanderbilt was really trying to reinforce his competitive position by not just, you know, having the railroad, but creating a destination at the end of that railroad. The only reason these things fell into decline is that after the war, after World War II, you had the federal government stepping in and, you know, basically creating, a suburban model and subsidizing highways and doing things that warped the marketplace, right, away from the railroads, which led to the eventual destruction of Penn Station and almost led to the destruction of Grand Central. But for the fact that, you know, a group of people led by Jackie Onassis came to its rescue as a historic building. But, you know, I think it's more than just the building. I think people need to understand the nexus between the station and the development around it. It's really about how hundreds of thousands of people